The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that he is giving to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that of he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any will not welcome you, and if they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite children to come up. So do you remember what God said to Ezekiel in our first lesson? Do you remember what he told him to do? You can shake your head no. He said, "Stand up." So stand up. And then when he stood up, he said, "You're going to have to talk to some rebellious people. So turn around." You see all these rebellious people here? And you're going to have to say something to them. And so here's what I want you to say to all of these rebellious people. So repeat after me. And as loud as you want to be or as soft as you want to be, you can say this. Thus says the Lord God. And so when you say something like that, everybody knows you're getting ready to say something really important. And so they're going to be rebellious. Some will listen, some won't. So, thus says the Lord God, the Father, created us all. The Son saved us all. The Spirit inspires us all. Amen. Do you think they listened? What do you think? Did they hear you? Good job. So you know what you just did? You just preached the best sermon you're ever going to hear. And you're all prophets because you proclaimed a great word from God to God's people. So never forget that God has an important word for you to share with God's people. Amen. Go in peace. That was probably the best you're going to get today. I don't know what more I can do over that. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What do you have in your bags? You know, this sort of this term, you talk about your baggage. What sort of stuff do you carry around that affects the way that you relate with other people one-on-one, with large groups in certain situations? What's in your bags? I'll admit one of the things in my bag is I really distrust police officers. And it really has nothing to do with what I've seen on TV recently, but it has more to do with what I lived with personally as a young African-American male growing up in New York City in the late 80s and early 90s. When stop and frisk was sort of like child's play compared to the way police interacted with young boys, young teens, who just were doing nothing wrong. I mean, you can see I'm a pastor, I've never been in jail, I've never been arrested, I've actually never sat in the back of a police car or have ever had handcuffs put on me. But I have been pushed against a wall. I have been asked, what are you doing? I have been stared down and had the fear put into me. This is some baggage that I even deal with today. But it's baggage that I work on, because I know that all cops aren't bad. I know that actually most cops are really great men and women who are trying to serve their community and keep us all safe. And so I saw an opportunity to get close to an officer who was in the rank structure of our sheriff's department. And so I reached out to John Ricks, who was running for sheriff. And I said, hey, would you like to have lunch sometime? I'm a pastor in West Lafayette, and I'd love to talk with you. He said, sure. And so we met at the Stacked Pickle, and we sat back and we talked. I was open with him right away, and I said, I don't trust you one bit. And he said, fair enough, Mike. He said, I don't know you anyway, and I'm a cop, and so I probably don't trust you much either. But we began to talk, and I talked about my upbringing and what I lived through. I talked with him about a lot. I learned a lot about policing from someone who had been a law enforcement officer his entire adult life. And a friendship began to grow. We started having lunch together. We started chatting over different issues as stuff would come up. When I knew that he might be starting a shift, I'd send him a quick text, be safe today, keep you guys safe. And so this relationship started to build, but I know I still have some stuff with that in my bags. What's in your bag? Jesus gets the 12 together and sends them out with a really interesting thing of take nothing in your bag. Don't even take a bag. Just go out, have a staff with you so that you can walk along these long roads. But when you get to the people, let them care for you. But don't hinder yourself with what you're going to take along this journey that you're on. But they'll care for you. And I will give you the ability to cure the sick, to cast out demons, to have power beyond belief, but take nothing with you. And they do that, and they go, and they anoint people. They cast out demons. Great deeds are done through them by God, because they were able to go without baggage, filled with all these concerns that sometimes hinder us, sometimes stop us from seeing the full picture of God's activity in the world. Paul, in our lesson, talks about some baggage that he thinks God gave him. But it's interesting that I want us to maybe draw some distinction of what we should really listen to in this text and what might not actually be the baggage of life in this text. Paul talks about a thorn that was put in his side, and that he prayed to God 3 times, and God says to him that my grace is sufficient for you. It's really interesting when we start to think about this thorn that Paul has, that Paul has also had a really interesting interaction that's uncommon with most people, the interaction that he had with God. It was almost the same sort of interaction that Moses has with God. And so that something took place with Moses when he's on the mountain, where he comes back and Moses is distinctly different. The text even says Moses' hair is changed. That something changed with Moses. That something also changed with Paul. Remember, he gets like these scales put over his eyes, and he has to go into the town, and then they come off. But that something distinctly different because of Paul's interaction with God maybe is this thorn that he has to now live with for the rest of his life. It's an interaction that most of us don't have. That deep of a one-on-one connection where the light of God is shining directly on us. That we almost see God. And so I don't want us to get hung up with God maybe giving people things that they have to live with, because I don't think God does that. But I think what God does do, what God does point out to Paul, is that his grace is sufficient for him. And so that we need to be mindful of whatever life gives us, whatever those things that get put in our bag, that as we're working through them, as we're emptying those things out, God's grace is sufficient for us. So what's in your bag? What are those things that hinder you? What are those things that make it complicated for you to connect more deeply with God? And how are you dealing with them? Or a better question is, how can you move past those things in your bag to work on your connectedness with God? You know, I'm big about prayer. I actually think that prayer is a powerful thing that we have and that we do, and it is not an empty action. And so prayer is the first place to go. Have that conversation with God, just like Paul, over and over again. Lord, be with me. Take these pains away from me. But Lord, I know your grace is sufficient. You will be with me. You will help me work through these things. The other thing that God gives is Jesus doesn't send his disciples out one by one, but two by two. We are not sent out alone. We do not do this by ourselves. Our faith life is not a personal thing. I know that that rejects
a lot of what our modern narrative says, that we have this personal relationship with Jesus. And I reject that. I reject this personal relationship because God brings us together in community. That our faith is at its strongest when we are together, not alone. That God draws us together and even sends us out two by two, sends us out in congregations to proclaim this word. And so while I know that we do have individual faith, that is not the pinnacle, the point of our faith life. But that pinnacle, that point, is when we are doing our faith life, when we are dealing with our baggage with others. When we're doing this stuff together. So how's your prayer life? Are you talking with God? What are you doing in your faith life with others besides worship on Sunday? Do you have a counselor if you have baggage you need to work through? Yeah, Pastor Mike knows that God gives people the vocation of being a counselor and a therapist and a psychologist, and that those people are needed. And those people are given a gift. And that some of us need those people in our lives. And so are you connecting there as well to deal with this baggage that hinders us from connecting with our God? And more especially, are you at this place where you can take those items in your bag and place them at the foot of the cross? Take them out, put them down, and look up and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Lord, I am turning this pain over to you because your grace is sufficient. And that you will be the one that will send your Holy Spirit to inspire me, to inspire us through these things that hinder us in our life. So what's in your bag? What's in your bag, and are you working on emptying that bag? Emptying that bag so that your connectedness to Christ, so that your connectedness to community, to your community of faith, can be stronger and stronger every day. Amen.